So Pentecost, a lot of us did not grow up thinking about or learning about Pentecost, and so we have a little bit of catch-up to do, and we're going to do that today with just dwelling on it as we have been for the last 50 days. Awesome worship this morning, by the way, Andrew, thank you for those song selections, I loved them, and for all those of you who helped with that, praise God. And we want to just kind of familiarize ourselves with Pentecost, but we also want to have Pentecost be more than knowledge. Like we learned all about what the Holy Spirit did, we want to say we've learned all about what the Holy Spirit does and let him do it in us and amongst us. So Pentecost comes 50 days after Passover and or Easter. And so if you can imagine, in Jerusalem, this is a Jewish festival, Shavuot is what we call it today. Then it was called Pentecost because it's from the Greek for 50. So 50 days, right, after the Passover, celebration of the wheat harvest and the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And then after some time, not at the time of Jerusalem when it happened, but later it developed into the celebration of the Torah being revealed to Moses on Mount Sinai because the old rabbis said it was 50 days from the liberation from Egypt to Sinai. So on that 50th day that we're all celebrating was actually the day that Torah came to us and defined who we are as a people. Torah made us who we are. One rabbi said it's the single most important day in all eternity. It makes us who we are. That was the day that God revealed who he was and who they are, and they covenanted together, right? They covenanted together, I will be yours and you will be mine. And that's the day and the remembrance of that day that God chose to release his Spirit into the church. The connection is obvious. And just as the connection between Passover and Easter, the killing of the Passover lamb, by his blood we shall be saved, is obvious. This connection between Shavuot and Passover and Pentecost is obvious. It's the day of celebrating the first fruits for us. It becomes the day of celebrating the first fruits of the Holy Spirit of the living God in the church. Now listen. We may not know it or appreciate this as much, but without that, there is no church. So we can celebrate Christmas. God is with us. That is awesome, amazing. Praise God, right? Pass the gifts. We can celebrate Easter and say he died for our sins and is resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. But if we don't ever celebrate Pentecost, we don't know this because the message doesn't go out. Because there isn't the boldness to do it. There isn't the anointing for it to grab hold of human hearts. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached a sermon, it wasn't because it was such an eloquent sermon. It was because the Holy Spirit, it says in the book of Acts, chapter 2, cut them to the heart. Without that, it doesn't happen. So that the final day, the fourth day, the judgment day, is a very, very sad and tragic and terrible thing. Because nobody has heard that Jesus Christ died for them. And so there's no way to get our sins removed. So we will all stand at judgment day responsible for our own sins. And you can still do that. Everyone has the option to stand at judgment day responsible for their own sins and to pay the penalty for that. But I can tell you what will happen. Well, the Bible will tell you what's happening. You don't have to listen to me. The Bible will tell you that all of those will be thrown into the lake of fire. So the shifting of judgment day from terrible, tragic, awful, unthinkable to glorious and joyful forever, hallelujah, is because Pentecost came and Holy Spirit filled the church. And you know what, brothers and sisters, my dear ones, we need that Spirit today just as much as they needed it then. Right? I do. I know some of you have just, no, that's not true. We are all in this together. We all struggle with it. So that is when, in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, we read, the day of Pentecost came, And everyone's in Jerusalem. Everyone's come from all over the Mediterranean world because it's one of the three Jewish feasts that you have to celebrate at the temple. So everyone has come to Jerusalem for this feast. And all of the disciples who had been following Jesus, about 120 people in a room maybe like this size, were all gathered together and they'd been praying and waiting on the Lord for 10 days. I don't know if they came and went into that room. It doesn't say. You know, they hung out there mostly, or they just camped out there, or what they were doing. But, you know, just like us sitting here right now, right? And we're just doing our stuff. Suddenly, a sound like a rushing mighty wind just comes into all of our ears and surrounds us. The wind's not blowing, but it sounds like a tornado is about to land right over us. It filled the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Good thing we lit those candles, because otherwise it would be like, whoops. Separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. It goes on to say then that there were people from all over the Mediterranean world who had landed in Jerusalem. And when they heard these other languages, which all just sounded like gibberish to the people in the room, because if you've got, I mean, they list more than a dozen different groups of people who are listening. So you've got all these languages going on. It's loud, it's raucous, it's, you know, who knows what they were doing physically. Were they standing around? What were they doing? We don't know, doesn't say. But they all were standing there in amazement saying, we're hearing our language. Egyptians, Mesopotamians, from Crete, from all over this world. All of them were hearing. They could pick out their language and say, that guy, that fisherman from Galilee is speaking perfect Egyptian and praising and declaring the wonders of God beautifully, wonderfully. How can he do this? And everyone was looking at each other saying, what is happening here? And of course, some of them thought they were drunk, which obvious, you know, to me just never has made sense. I mean, do drunk people start speaking different languages? I mean, like, you know, if you have too many beers, you start speaking German. I've never known that to happen. I don't know. Don't go out and try it. Don't put this to a test. let's see. All right. But then Peter stands up to preach. And Peter doesn't have a prepared sermon. Peter didn't take any notes. Peter didn't do anything to prepare. He didn't know this was going to happen. He didn't know this was going to be called. He just knows the Holy Spirit's in Peter. And so he stands up and he starts talking. And when he gets done talking, they cry out to him, so what should we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, because the Holy Spirit had cut them to the hearts. That's the birth of the church. That's the beginning. If that doesn't happen, we're not here. Just like Anna and Ben, you're not here if you don't love Jesus. You don't get each other. You don't get all the beautiful things that are going to come out of this, Anna or Ben. All the blessings of your life together, all the wonderful things God's going to do for you guys, they don't even happen if you don't love Jesus first. It was that yes in your life that has opened the door for all the other treasures that he's going to give to you. And if this doesn't start here, we don't have what we've got. Have you ever been blessed by God? Have you ever been blessed by the presence of the Spirit and the peace of Jesus? Well, you don't get any of that if this doesn't happen. So Peter stands up, he releases this, the promised gift of the Father. Remember, this is all based on what Jesus said. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist said, I baptize water, but the one who comes after me is going to baptize with fire. So when they met, Jesus says in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1, it is not for you to know, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is the power that Jesus said, wait for it. Don't go out and do church without it. Honestly, don't even try to live your life without it. We don't do well with living our lives and making our call, judgment calls and decisions and opinions without the Holy Spirit of the living God filling us and giving us the direction for all of those things. It's the power, it's the demonstration of God's reality. Paul put it this way when he went to Corinth. When he came to Corinth, he said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. They were with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Now, do you see the difference there? What Paul's saying is, if I can convince you with eloquence and wisdom to believe in Jesus, someone else can come along because your faith rests on that. My faith rests on Paul's eloquence and Paul's wisdom. And what Paul's saying is, then someone else can come along with a greater eloquence and a different wisdom and take you off of that spot because it was resting on eloquence and wisdom. You are always subject to eloquence and wisdom taking you off. And Paul says, I didn't want that for you. I didn't want that to be your foundation. What I wanted as your foundation was for me to demonstrate the power of the Spirit so that your faith would rest on something nobody else can do, cannot be done except by God. Because when you rest there, the only thing that can take that off is a power more powerful than God. And so I can rest assured that you never will. Do you see what his point is? Do we need to still do that as a church? You know, Paul said to Galatians, he said, well, what started with the Spirit, now you're trying to do out of your own efforts. What happened? Right? And so would we say that to the church? Church, what started with the Spirit, why are you trying to do with your own efforts? Do you really want people's faith to rest on wisdom and eloquence? Or do you want it to rest on a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit? And then in Ephesians, about this Spirit, in chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "And you were also included into Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Praise God. "Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." So what we have now is we have not only that my faith rests on a demonstration of the power, but that power now dwells in me as a down payment and a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance so that when I'm doubtful, I can rest on that and not what I'm thinking. You see how the Holy Spirit is key and critical to the sustaining of the gospel message in the church throughout the ages? And for 2,000 years, it's held true, hasn't it? So the demonstration of the power of the Spirit and the infilling of that very same Spirit in me as a deposit guaranteeing my inheritance, do you see how critical the role of the Holy Spirit is? So we need to be very careful that we don't quench it, don't diminish it, and simply don't talk about it, because to not talk about it or to acknowledge it is to lose it. And so I believe that God in this day is calling us to a renewal of the Holy Spirit in the whole worldwide Church of Jesus Christ, as well as Bradley Epworth, as well as in our own hearts. So happy birthday, church. The Spirit of God in a gathered community of people doing what people can't do, right? Releasing signs, wonders, and miracles upon the earth to testify to the message of salvation that we proclaim. Like John 7 says, streams of living water. Jesus said on the last and greatest day of the feast, John 7, verse 37, Jesus stood up in a loud voice, said, "Anybody thirsty? Hello? Anybody out there thirsty? Anna, are you thirsty? Yes. Well, whoever's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Because whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from where? Upon him? No. Streams of living water will flow from where? From within him, from within you, from your belly. It's going to be in you. There's going to be, come to me and believe in me, and this spirit that comes in and fills us will become a continual source of Holy Spirit strengthening, blessing, filling, reminding, assuring you as you walk out your faith in Christ. And it says, the streams of living water will flow from within him, and by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And that's what we're talking about now. And that, my dear friends, is exactly what we're going to be praying for on June 19th. And even today, and every day. There's no magic number to what the day is. The Spirit isn't limited to the day of Pentecost. Like, if you get it today, great, but if you miss it, the window's closed, and you'll have to wait another year. It's not like that. It's like it's constantly and available to all of us. This living water, the streams in the desert of the Spirit of the God flowing in us with joy and salvation and wonder and power and healing and restoration and peace for a drought-stricken and weary world. I was looking at the reservoir in California that is 85 feet low. It's a lake. It's a reservoir that they built, but it's become a lake. And the docks for the boats, the water is elevation-wise 80 feet lower than the boats. So they're going to have to wait for enough rain in this huge lake to raise it all the way up 85 feet to meet the level that all the houses and their boats are around this reservoir. And what they said was that California is in a crisis because the snowpack in the Sierras doesn't hold. That's what they depend on, melting, and the streams and the, you know, rolling down the Sierras. And this is for Sacramento, the state capital, flowing into all these reservoirs, filling them up so that people can water their yards and have water to drink, and farm fields can be irrigated. And I just saw this picture, and I thought, God, is that the church? Is that the church right now? I just felt this funny feeling, like, I think it is. And the thing is, you guys, the reason I feel this is because I think we're the water level of the living water and the Spirit of God is going down, and we don't realize how far down the water level has gone in the Church of Jesus Christ. And because when we look at the book of Acts, the water level is very clearly where the docks are. And there's a gap in us, and it's like, God, what do we do about this? How do we make up that 85 feet? That's like, feels like impossible. And I believe that his answer is that we have to start receiving, acting in, and being obedient to the Holy Spirit of the living God, making it real in our churches, not just that's the third member of the Trinity, or that's something that came at Pentecost, but it's something that's in our worship services, it's in our hearts, it's in our relationships, it's in our activities, it's in our prayers, it's everywhere we go, and to make it, to lift it up into our evangelism and our study of the Word and everything that we do, into our families, into our marriages, into our homes, that we need to have showers of blessings, we need to have rain, we need to have the reservoirs filled up. Because the world, honestly, the world, dear ones, is not looking for more theories or claims of truth. We may have lived in an era, a generation ago, where a brilliant argument could bring somebody into a relationship with Jesus. But honestly, I don't think we have that anymore. There are so many opinions, so many truth claims. You know, whatever you say to me, I can go on Facebook and find the opposite. And we all know that's the final authority. But honestly, I mean, yeah, that's just a little jab at Facebook, but Facebook does a lot of good things. Like every Wednesday, it's on right now. All of you in the live stream, yeah, right? This is a good thing. But it's like, the world isn't, you know, you can go out and you can say to somebody, do you know that God created this world? Why? No. Why would I believe that? Why would I think that's even true? Well, it says so right here, and you know, in this book. And it's like, why would I care about that book? Well, because God wrote it. Says who? What about Judgment Day? What are you going to do then? Well, I don't think there is a Judgment Day. You see what I'm saying? It's like there isn't anything that we can say that's going to be so compelling that somebody's going to say, you know, oh, great, unless the Holy Spirit cuts them to the heart. Daryl was talking about the Burning Man out in the desert. Remember, you were a few sermons ago. And the Burning Man festival is just it's where people go to do anything they want. There's drugs, there's sex, anything you want is at the Burning Man festival, and that's why people go. But Christians also go there to do ministry. And Daryl was talking about this couple that leads people there, but they said that before they go and after, they do counseling with all the people on the team. Like before they go, they talk to them, they pray for them. You got to be interviewed for this, because what they found is they lose people. They lose members of their team. Someone on their team that goes there and travels there to the desert for the Burning Man contest or festival will actually leave that group and go take up with another group. They said the power of the enemy and evil is so strong and so powerful in that place that they have to be on their guard, and they've got to be very careful, and not just anybody can go, and everybody has to have prayer ministry every day because they lose people. And in the midst of that, in the midst of that place, do you think that if they set up a booth that said, here's the truth, come and get it, do you think anybody would care? But instead, they put up a booth that said, what did they say, Daryl? Spirit of truth? Spirit of truth. Come get, a spirit of truth is going to speak to you. And they would lead people into, through the Holy Spirit in them, releasing things to speak to people that would touch their hearts and shape and form their minds around this concept of God knowing something that couldn't be known and speaking it to these people, and oh my gosh, God is real. A demonstration of the Spirit of the living God, inviting them into a relationship with Jesus and letting them be filled with the very Spirit themselves. So when there was a dust storm, a sandstorm in the desert is terrible because it's like it's just fine grains of sand pelting you, right? And they had a sandstorm. And so everything was shutting down, right? All the booths shutting down at the Burning Man Festival, except theirs. They had a line 2 blocks long in the middle of a dust storm. Why? Because the world is drought-stricken and weary for living water to slake the thirst of our souls. Souls know there's a God. Your soul knows what's true. Your soul is crying out, give me this water. And your brain is beating it back. And you go out to this festival where everyone's getting everything they want, but what's the most attractive thing there? The thing that will slake the thirst of a drought-stricken and weary soul, the Spirit of the living God, the living water that Jesus said. Is anybody thirsty? Well, then drink this, and it will change you. And that, my dear ones, is what we have to offer, and that is what God wants to pour more and more into us to be able to meet the needs of this world. I don't say that in order to diminish what it means for us to speak truth. That's all Peter did, and the Holy Spirit took it from there. But they had all just witnessed a miracle. They had all just seen Galileans speaking in their language and hearing the praises of God. So they were primed for this. They saw people doing what people cannot do. God must be real. God must be in them. And so when Peter spoke, they were listening in a way that they wouldn't have been otherwise. And that's the same way that it's supposed to function in the church today. Billy Graham said that, Billy Graham, who acknowledged all the gifts of the Spirit, said it was only by the Holy Spirit that he did what he did. Acknowledged the gift of speaking in other languages and said it's a real gift and people get it. He did not in particular have that gift, but he said, but if I look at my life, everything that I do is by the Holy Spirit. I preach by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever listened to Billy Graham's sermons? Yeah. I mean, it's not like you would listen to one of those sermons and say, oh, I'm going to go running down to the front. But the Holy Spirit was in it. There's an anointing on it. It's amazing. And he said, everything that I do is by the Holy Spirit. Everything that I, that every salvation that comes was not because Billy Graham saved somebody. I can't do that. Only Holy Spirit can. I love Billy Graham's approach to it because really the truth is that God so honored him as a man of righteousness and faith and obedience. If you want to do something that really connects you immediately to the heart of God, just be obedient. God loves that. I think he loves it more than anything. Just being obedient. Billy was obedient, and God blessed him, filled him with the Holy Spirit, and Corrie Ten Boom as well, and we looked at her last week. And Jackie Pullinger was a missionary in Hong Kong who was ready to give up. She said that she was done and it wasn't working. She said her missionary friends couldn't help her very much. They didn't even expect people to be converted anymore because they said there was such a spiritual cloud hanging over China that covered Hong Kong as well, and that nothing could be done there. And she says she began to feel bound and ineffective, and that was about when the time was that she thought she needed to give up. And then she played the organ for a chapel service, and this Chinese couple came in, and she said immediately she saw something different about them. Immediately. Like, they're different. They had something alive in them, something alive. Like, just, there's life on them, there's light. What's the difference? And they said, and she said, went up to him. She said, "What's different about you guys? Why is this?" And they said, "Well, we have the Holy Spirit," and implying that she didn't, which offended her, you know. And they said, "Well, you need the Holy Spirit." And she said, "Oh, I have the Holy Spirit." "No, you don't have the Holy Spirit." "Yes, I do." And she said they got in a big argument about whether or not she had the Holy Spirit. And after arguing about it, she said, "You know what? Of course I have the Spirit. I couldn't believe in Jesus if I didn't have the Spirit," and she's absolutely right. She does have the Holy Spirit, and she did then. So what are we arguing about? These people obviously had something I needed, and I recognized, even without understanding their sermon, because she couldn't understand the Chinese that they were speaking, but she noticed something in them. They called it having the Holy Spirit. I wanted it, so let's just get on with this. Whatever you call it, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, a second blessing, I don't care what it is. If God's got something more, I want it. I love that attitude. Don't you love that? I don't know what you're going to call it. I don't know what your theology says. I don't know what your doctrines insist on. All I know is that they've got something more than me, and I want what they've got. You can call it what you want. And so they said, "Well, come to our apartment, and we'll pray for you." And so she said, "Great." And so she went to their apartment, and they had a bowl of oranges, and the oranges were what the Chinese used for celebrating. Like, this, you know, to celebrate something wonderful that has taken place, we have a bowl of oranges to share. And then wet napkins, so she could wipe her face off of the tears that they knew were going to come forth in her, right? And so they said, "Okay, get ready." And they brought her in, and they started praying over her, and then they said, "Okay, Holy Spirit, come. Now you speak in a different language." And she's like, "I don't have a different language." She goes, "No, you speak. And she's like, "I don't, there's nothing there." And they kept it. And she said she started getting mad because they just, all they would say is speak, speak. And she was like, I can't, I can't. And so she was just like, and she said she could feel herself getting angry, starting to sweat, starting to get flushed, you know, and like, this is really awkward and uncomfortable. If this is it, I'm not interested, right? And so she finally, she was like, I need to call on God. And it's like, I'm just going to cry out, God, please help me. You know, because how do I get out of this? And so as soon as she started to say, God, please help me, she said another language came out. And it was a beautiful, you know, language. It was a complete language. And she spoke it, and it was amazing. And they started clapping and praising God. And she said, but I didn't feel a thing. It's like, okay, I got a language, but I'm not feeling glory. I'm not feeling joy. I'm not going to cry. The napkins are for nothing. I don't want an orange. I just like, it's like, you know, I just, okay, whatever this is, I'm going home. And she did. And she thought, well, whatever that was for, I didn't get what they've got, kind of thing, you know? And so she let it go and continued to do her ministry, but she wasn't seeing anything effective take place. She wasn't getting any breakthrough. She's so frustrated. And again, it was like, and she met this missionary couple, and this lady said to her, she said, Jackie, do you pray in tongues? Another language. Do you pray in tongues? And Jackie said, yeah. I mean, I can. I mean, I did that once, and I could again, but I don't really see much point in it. It doesn't seem very effective. I didn't have any mountaintop glory experience. And the lady said, oh, Jackie, no, don't say that. God, if God's given you a gift, you should use it. You should appreciate it. And she said, what you should do is start praying every day for 15 minutes. You know, set your alarm and just pray. And so she started doing that. She started, every day she prayed for 15 minutes. And so they said to her, but before that, they said, let's pray now. And they all started praying in the spirit, you know, different languages. And Jackie, you know, was like, oh, this is awkward. This is weird. Okay, but I'll do it. And then they stopped. And they said, just keep praying. And she said, oh, you got to be kidding me. This just like, sounds like, you know, this is ridiculous. What am I going through for this thing? Not feeling anything. And so she did, you know, and she was praying. And the lady said, Jackie, I want to tell you what the Lord just showed me you are saying. And so she wanted to give an interpretation, right? Do you know what you were saying, Jackie? Well, of course not. She said, what I heard you saying to God was a beautiful prayer, and you were praying to God. God showed me that you were praying to God, that your heart was yearning for the Lord, and you were telling him that. You were telling the Lord that your heart is yearning for him. You were calling on him as if you were in the depths of a valley stream up to the mountaintops. You were telling him that you loved him and that you worshiped him and that you longed for him to use you. And Jackie was like, that's a more beautiful prayer than I've ever prayed. Is that what happens when I'm doing that? Is that what's coming out of me? Because if that's what's coming out of me, I'll do that. That's beautiful. And so all of a sudden, it just transformed her ideas. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Something's actually being said? Something beautiful to God from my, that's my heart, right? That's my heart. So I want to express my heart. So she started expressing her heart to God every day for 15 minutes. And after 6 weeks, she said, all of a sudden, something happened. And she said, now all of a sudden something turned, and everyone she talked to wanted to hear about Jesus. Before, nobody did. And now it's like, you know, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. Oh, good, because I'd like to hear about Jesus. You would? Yes. Would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Yes. Let me pray for you for the Holy Spirit to come. And they would start speaking another language. And she said, when she realized that people were now starting to come to him, that's when she felt the joy. That's when she felt the glory. She didn't feel it when she got this stuff. She felt it when she saw the results. And then it was just like, and then, you know, the young men who were addicted to opium and heroin that she was ministering to would come in, and if they would receive Jesus, they would get prayed for, they would speak in another language. And the funny thing about it here, you guys, is that in that day, in that place, nobody else knew anything about what Christianity was. So for them, this was Christianity. They didn't say, well, some people say that's not true, or some people say we don't have to have it, or some people say the gifts of stuff. They didn't know any of that. All they knew was that Christianity is a power that's available to you that actually enabled them to withdraw from opium and heroin without any suffering or pain. That's impossible. But the power of God was a demonstration of the power of God. These young men's faith was resting on a demonstration of the power of God, not just a Western philosophy called Christianity that you should obey and you should do, but a demonstration of the power. And then it filled them, and then they began to minister and pray for each other. She said in the first few months of all this taking place, they had 75 young men. In just a few months, 75 young men living in a community, all of whom had withdrawn from opium and heroin without any withdrawal symptoms. Yeah, come on, that's God. And they would then take that and minister to each other, and it was exponential. And it's still going on today. That same ministry that has touched thousands of people and released them, set the captives free from opium and heroin, and changed their hearts so that when they got free, they didn't want to go back. And the stories are phenomenal. And on one occasion, this guy, he just came out with this spiritual language, and somebody in the group said, "I have an interpretation of that." He sang a song. Oh, no, the interpretation. He sang the interpretation. This guy didn't know English very well, but his interpretation of that guy's tongues when he started singing the song came out in perfect English. And he said this. He said, what I heard him praying was, "Oh God, who saves me in the darkness, give me strength and the power so I can walk in the Holy Spirit, fight against the devil with the Bible, talk to the sinners in the world, and make them belong to Christ." That's what this young man was, when he prayed in the Spirit in the prayer room, that's what he was praying. That's the interpretation of it. Then there's another kid who doesn't speak English, and he said, I got the interpretation. He didn't hear what the other guy said because he couldn't speak English, and he gave an interpretation in Chinese of what the kid had prayed. And it was exactly the same. Even though they don't speak, right? He doesn't speak that language. But he got in Chinese what this guy got in English of what this guy had prayed in the Spirit simultaneously. And it was it's a beautiful heart coming forth. When I became a Christian, I was Roman Catholic. And so being Roman Catholic, when I became a Christian, I wanted to give everything of my heart and life to Jesus. And so I went into Catholic seminary and told God, I want to give up marriage and family and sexual satisfaction and possessions and even making my calls for my life. Because somebody else is going to make the calls for my life. I won't own anything personally, and I will never be married, and I'll be celibate for the rest of my life. And I got together in a group with a bunch of other guys who were going to do the same thing, all so that Jesus could be glorified and known on the face of the earth, right? And we had a prayer meeting, but we were charismatic Catholics. It's a strange thing that happened in the 70s, right, Daryl and Sue? A strange thing, and some of the rest of you. So the strange thing that happened in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, on into the 70s, it was a Jesus movement that swept over the face of the earth, and it touched everyone. You talk to anybody in the United States, and it was hitting them there, too. Mine just happened to be Southern California. But we got together and we prayed, and we would pray in the Spirit. And in one prayer meeting, one of the officials from the seminary came to see what we were up to, because they're a little bit suspicious of these charismatic Catholics. I felt the Holy Spirit coming on me and saying, "Speak forth in another language, in your spiritual language. Speak out." There's a difference between speaking and speaking biblically. When it says, no one should speak without an interpreter, that means address the church. And this was one of those times when it was like, I think I'm supposed to address this group and then wait for an interpretation. And so I did. I my heart was beating and I was sweating and I was like, oh God, I don't want to do this, but I feel like I have to. And the dude from the seminary is here to check us out and he's going to kick me out. And oh well. So I said it and then we waited in silence and it felt like like 3 hours, but it was probably like 30 seconds. And the guy across from me, Bud, who's now Father Bud in San Diego, California, awesome priest and a faithful servant of God, he got the interpretation, and it was from Matthew 5. It was from the Sermon on the Mount. And it was, you do well to love each other, but if you only love those who return love, you really have no reward. It's the ones who don't return it, the ones who are difficult to love, even the ones who might be considered your enemies, that's when it's real love. And he was talking like my sons. That was the terminology of the interpretation. And I thought, I just said that, right? That came out of me? Well, you know, I mean, it's the Holy Spirit in me, but it's like, that's awesome. I just quoted the Sermon on the Mount to these guys and you know, chastised us and encouraged us at the same time. It was amazing. That, you know, okay, so that hasn't happened. It's been 46 years since that's happened. I'm due for another one, right? I think. And it's like wow. And so, you know, for me, that was just Christianity. That's just how it happened. I didn't know that that wasn't what you did. And so I kind of, that the whole thing of the Spirit and tongues and all of that, it kind of can go dormant in you. Like it's not until I read this book. And I have these books here because I like to push books and help you read. And Chasing the Dragon by Jackie Pullinger, which is what I'm quoting these things from. And as I read the ministry that she had, and it was so based on the power of the Spirit manifesting in this way, it was so based on that, that I began to, talking to you guys about the last 50 days of my life, okay? In the last 50 days of my life, even though I've spoken in tongues and been involved in spiritual ministry, Holy Spirit ministry and prophecies and things like that for my whole ministry, Christian walk, it's a lot of times it's been underground and dormant. Probably Mel and Fonda back in Glassford days, I don't think I ever would have talked about this. You don't remember me ever talking about this? Okay. So I was there for 6 years, and it just was completely underground. But what I've noticed, you guys, is that I am being more intentional about spending time praying in the Spirit, and I've noticed two things happening in my life. One is I'm actually seeing results to prayers that I'm praying that are, in my opinion, remarkable. And it's like I look at it and I go, whoa, that feels like God just did something there. Like not normal, like, you know, normally we pray, we contend, but then you pray for something and you see the results in a way that's like remarkable and you go, whoa. I just feel like over the last 50 days even, of my life, here we are, this is fresh. It just feels like there's something, just like with Jackie, it's like the more I allow this to be in me and to express it, the more I'm seeing effectiveness in prayer. And so I'm saying more of that. But the other thing that I'm seeing, which means so much to me, is, the banners are on opposite sides now, is the fruit of the Spirit. And all of these things here, you guys, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, this is the result of that Holy Spirit being in us, and this is what I prize more than anything. The gifts are great, but the gifts don't bring this forth, but this will help bring the gifts forth. And this is where I become more like Jesus. And this is where I begin to see everything else in my life come together in a way that is blessed by God and beautiful. And so I'm not an expert in those things. You can ask Vicky. I don't have the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, nailed down. But I want to. I want those things to be the descriptors of my life. Those things are fine. Those things are good. I will take those. But if I have to choose, it's that banner, not that one, that I want to dwell in and under. And actually, here, okay, let me give you another thing. This is fresh, 50 days. I've actually seen God being able to increase levels of some of the fruit of the Spirit in my life, and I recognized it. I thought, whoa, that's different. That is different. I feel a check sometimes if I'm wandering away from the fruit, and I feel the grace to let it come forth. It's been amazing. So I'm just sharing that with you as something that is like right now that's happening in me. Now, the thing that I haven't seen yet that I want is that I want to do like Jackie and Corey and Billy. I want to partner with Jesus for the setting of captives free. I want to see that. I want to participate in that. I want to see that. I want to be like Peter, just saying those words, just preaching that, and everyone's cut to the heart, and you just bring them in. Or Jackie, who's going out saying, you do want to give your life to Jesus? Oh, okay. I want to see the fruit of partnering with Jesus for the thing that is most critical to his heart. Now listen to this. Most critical to his heart is not that I speak in tongues. That is not number one in Jesus' mind. What's most critical to him is that I'm partnered with him for setting the captives free, which is what Billy Graham did. And he never spoke in tongues, but he did this. And I believe it's because Billy was so obedient that God just dumped everything on him. I think he just opened the storerooms of heaven, and he dumped everything on Billy. And he said, take my spirit, Billy, and let my spirit work through you, and let it be powerful. And I don't think he held anything back. I don't think there's something in God that's saying, well, you didn't speak in tongues, so Billy, I'll give you 90%. But think what you could have done with 100. No. I think God said, Billy, you got it all. And I want to be able to partner with Jesus in a way that I can see. So that what Jackie said, she said, I didn't get any ooey gooey feelings. They happened when I saw the results of the Spirit. That's what I want to see. I want to see someone whose just heart just opens up and says, yes, I want God. Yes, I want Jesus. And rejoice in that. All right. So, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want the Father's gift? So this Wednesday, what we're going to do, we'll talk together on Wednesday night. We're going to talk about how to be naturally supernatural. I'm going to use some examples that aren't big. I'm going to use the examples of somebody who let the Holy Spirit work in her life. Not because she was in Hong Kong with opium addicts, or not because she's doing an evangelistic message, or not because, you know, like these big-time examples I've been using. But what does it look like for us daily? We're going to talk about that Wednesday night. So come and listen to that and see what God can stir in you. Secondly, June 19th, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit going forward here for a few more weeks. But on June 19th, we're going to be praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit for everyone, for all of these things. And even today we're going to offer prayer for whatever, wherever you're at. If you have a desire for Holy Spirit, if you have doubts about Holy Spirit, if you want God to just loosen the soil, if you want healing, if you just whatever, wherever you're at today, we're just going to ask Holy Spirit to flow over you like streams of living water, and the water will always find the place where it's most needed, right? Water always goes to the lowest level. It'll always find the place where it's most needed in you. And so that's what our prayer ministry is going to be about today. So that's where we're headed. That's where we're going forward, because the vision of a church, a community of people enlivened by the Spirit, operating with effective intercession and prayers, saying things to God that are beautiful, worshiping in the liveliness of the Spirit, and seeing actual effects on the earth of people whose hearts are opening up to Jesus is an exciting and wonderful place to be. And as COVID's retreating, praise God, Holy Spirit, come forward. and move in your church like it's never moved before. Father God, we pray for that to happen. We pray for that to happen here at Bradley Epworth, but on the face of the earth. Come forth, Holy Spirit, like you've never come forth before. Come forth, God, like it was at Pentecost, and just enliven your church and fill all of our hearts. God, I pray for everybody here today. Holy Spirit, in your prayer life, when you cry out to God, let the Spirit of God cry out through you. When you pray for things that really matter, your loved ones, situations, anything that you care about that you're praying for, let Holy Spirit partner with you to lift that up to the heavenly realms. Father God, I pray for everybody in this room and in this church that the fruit of the Spirit would come forth. Come forth, not by our efforts, not because I sat down and decided I'm going to be more patient, but because I relinquished my will to yours, and the Holy Spirit in me brought that forth. Oh God, have your way in your church, have your way in us, have your way in our marriages, have your way in our families, have your way in everything that we do. Let people see us like Jackie saw those Chinese people and say, there's something different, I see it. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come into all of our hearts in the way that you choose for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.